Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
This afternoon, the Cubs announced that Kyle Tucker has left the team to travel back to his hometown of Tampa to see his own personal physical therapist. Kyle has not played in a game since September 2nd, dealing with that left calf strain, and he has just not progressed. So he went to the team and said, "Can I go back to my own personal guys?" Because he's had success with them in the past. The Cubs were all for it, so he did travel with Cubs personnel back to Tampa, and they're hopeful that in coming days they will get some answers and hopefully see some progress with that left calf strain. This is really still an injury that he remains day-to-day. They have no idea how long he will be out, but the hope is that he will get back and be able to play with the team some point before the playoffs.
That was Taylor McGregor before first pitch of yesterday's game. And I'm sitting down to watch the game, Speaks, and I'm like, oh, bleep. like that's not great, because I'm looking at the calendar and the playoffs start pretty soon.
That's a bombshell. That qualifies as a bombshell and ends up sort of getting buried as the Cubs clinch the playoff spot and the celebration ensues. And we even did a segment to start off the show talking all about the clinch, and we teased that we'd get back to this later. By the way, Lawrence, I'm doing a special hit and run on Saturday afternoon. Listeners should know, if you are a baseball fan, if you have friends who are baseball fans and hit and run fans, Saturday afternoon, 2 to 5, leading into Cubs Reds right here on The Score. I'll be hosting hit and run. But Kyle Tucker with what, a week and a half left, 10 games to go. That's a little concerning that he's going away to Florida to deal with some doctors that he dealt with when he was an Astro.
Some of the quotes that have come out, like Craig Counsell said, unfortunately, he's not responding to treatment. So we're going to try something different. And I'm reading from MLB.com's account of all of this, is that Counsell admitted there is a level of concern due to Tucker not responding to treatment. He remains optimistic that he will play this season. It's scary when you're still trying to find the treatment solution with a week and a half to go before you would theoretically play a playoff game.
You remember in the spring when Tucker was ailing and unable to play in a lot of the games and was able to finally show up, what, with two games to go? Remember he made like a sudden debut and homered in that first game? And obviously hit the ground running with a torrid start to begin the year. So there's an understandable belief that as long as he gets back and has a couple of games, this is a pro who knows what he's doing and has done a great job in the postseason in the past and everything like that. It's not necessarily a dude who needs to get up and running. Now, the big slump in the middle of the year doesn't help with your confidence in that regard, understandably. But, it's a scary situation. Well, it is a little bit scary.
I think your point that you raise about his preparation is a really interesting one, because he seems to be, if he's healthy enough, he seems to be a guy that doesn't need at-bats.
Yep.
Like, that his approach is such that he can just kind of be reintegrated back in and do what he needs to do as a hitter. My concern, I think, should be a growing concern all the way around sports. And that's the calf injury. Like, the idea of the calf injury to me is significant, because we know now that a lot of guys who we think may have a strained calf then end up with a torn Achilles. And so I worry that since there isn't since there isn't a real choice of treatment that has been effective, as the mayor of Worrytown, I am worried about the idea of you can't just go to him the day of the playoffs and be like, are you good? And him be like, oh, yeah, I'm totally fine. If you don't get to a treatment plan that makes it that he can run,
like this is why you're the mayor. You're putting the you're connecting the calf to the Achilles.
Well, I didn't connect it.
Well, you did it, Lawrence.
I think whatever deity that you pray to is the one that probably connected it.
Well, now the truth is out. I pray. No, I don't. God, you're right. All those NBA Achilles injuries that all had some calf precursors. And here's Kyle Tucker on the eve of his free agency, not wanting to trust whether that calf is just about ready. You're painting a very worrisome image. Is this sourced at all? It sounds very wise. And
it's just all this is just looking around sports at guys and be like, oh, I have a calf injury. Oh, now I have an Achilles tear and I'll be gone for 15 months or whatever it is.
I heard there was a little something going on with the decision for him to go on the IL, and we tried to poke around with Craig Council, a week and a half ago? And Craig wasn't buying and said, no, his calf just wasn't good, and he put him on the IL. But this level of concern that you're talking about is the kind of natural thing that can come up from a player's perspective, if not management's perspective.
Can I also offer something else up from a player's perspective that people are not going to like?
Well, you're the mayor. This is what you do.
Be Kyle Tucker for a second. You already have won a World Series, by the way.
Yeah.
You are in line for the biggest payday of your life and one of the biggest paydays that any player could hope for, right? Is it worth it to you? If you don't know for sure what's going on and you don't have if you have to kind of go on feel and a wish instead of actual, yeah, we tried this treatment made it better, I'm ready to roll, do you risk it? Because there's a lot of dollars at stake, and we have seen his dollars move back since the beginning of the season. We've seen him now be into probably the fours. If he's completely healthy, we're talking about a $400 million type deal instead of $550 or $600. If you're him, is it okay to even think about the preservation of your career and your money?
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable if you're him to think that way. It is loathsome from the team perspective. When you're all those other guys and you're the teammates you're all of his teammates and you've been busting your ass and here is this prized opportunity and you're in there either for the first time or you're emotional like Ian Happ having been there for 9 years and now you're the elder statesman and you're in, or you're any of these guys. You're Seiya Suzuki, who has battled for 3 years with lots of ups and downs and now gets his first whiff of postseason in MLB after coming over from Japan. And that would be a very unfortunate choice. Baseball is that perfect blend of the individual accomplishment in the team sport, but it is littered with situations like this where guys have had to make a decision about what to do. And that would be a very ugly scenario that the mayor of Worrytown is setting out for us right now. So if you're the Cubs, you support this idea for him to go down to his physical therapy guy, his own physical therapy guy.
Maybe they have answers. This feels like a shot in the dark by the Cubs. It feels like we've got to figure out something. Because we need to know, if he's going to be on that first playoff roster. Because you can mess around, and we've had issues with the Cubs throughout this season and seasons past with the idea of the manager playing a couple of guys down for a weekend series or whatever. You don't want to do that in a playoff series. You want to have everyone available that you need to try and win, and you've got to make decisions on it. And you have to ask yourself, if for Kyle, is the risk worth it? And we don't know. Like, it might just be a simple calf strain that they just can't get a hold of. And maybe he finds the magical elixir or the right physical therapy with the person that he's worked with before.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. As a texter points out, you were worried about Jalen Johnson. And I was like, nah, we'll be fine. Everything will be good. So, you know, you got another term with that one. Kyle, now that we're talking about it and it's all kind of wrapping around here, there's obviously a history for Kyle of him kind of holding on to information and wanting to have some control over some of the injury. The injury news and the timeline on it. The shin injury that he suffered last year in Houston that sidelined him for a while. He did not disclose that between, I think it was June and September, held on to that information between June and September. And then there was the situation this year, obviously, with the broken finger from the slide that didn't come out in full for a couple of months. And that's when the slump happened. And then it was the sit down that kind of reset the mental part of it, which is sort of crazy that reset it. And maybe it wasn't there in terms of the physical bothering him as much, at least by that point of the recovery. Maybe it had progressed to the mentality of it. But these are complicated kind of personal labyrinths that you can go down as a high performance athlete in your own mind, and your level of quirkiness and kind of self-involvement can wreak havoc in these situations. And we seem to have a guy who has a maintenance level that might be higher than some others in this way.
And look, there's a bravery attached to Tyrese Halliburton going out on his shield in game 7 of that series in the NBA finals, right? There people go, but look at that. Like, he went out there, he knew this was a possibility, and damn it, he made the wrong move, and then now he's gone for a little bit over a year. The thing for me that we need to make sure that we at least examine and acknowledge is, this is it. Like, there's at least $400 million on the line. And maybe someone will sign him if he has an injury that's more debilitating because of this playoff run. But that's a lot to risk if you don't know for sure kind of where you're at physically. And we both have talked about it like throughout the season on stuff that he's doing out in the outfield. And you go, wow, did he just make a business decision?
A business decision. Yeah, there's been a few of those. There's definitely been a few of those. It's a dark take on what might be happening here. But, you know, dark takes have been right before in situations like this. I go myopic on it for a moment and just think about the next week and a half and potentially the next 6 weeks. And Moises Ballesteros at a DH is totally workable for me, especially against righties in the postseason. But that means Seiya Suzuki in right field. And that's scary to consider. It's scarier than Kyle Tucker to consider.
At least it's your right field, though.
It's your right field for the opening series.
Right. And then then you can make some changes. Like, you can get crazy and be like, Ian, go play right field.
Well, but they haven't done that all year.
I know, but I'm just saying that if you're going to play Seiya in right field, at least it's a right field that he's very familiar with versus him playing the right field in Atlanta a couple years ago and it being a disaster for him.
Sure. But I mean, but what it could end up meaning is that Seiya will start for you in right field, or Willie Castro will start for you in right field. And that limits your defensive flexibility, because Castro can play out there, but then you can't use him at the other places. But then you're moving people around, and it means you're going to need to have either an Alcantara or a Casey if he comes back, who can only play right field. Probably Alcantara, because he can be your backup in center too. So it creates a more complicated scenario that Craig could obviously manage, but yet that would be a massive kick in the junk to the Cubs if Kyle Tucker were to make a business decision about an injury and not be available for the postseason.
Yeah, but I don't want to frame it as if like we're putting blame on him for doing it, because that's not how I feel about it. I would understand. It might not be the choice I would make, but I would understand considering the amount of money that is on the line on this. The other part of it is that this is the job of the front office and the manager. And I don't think it's their job to push the player in this situation. I do think it's their job to be like, okay, let's what we're doing right now, but at a much higher level. Let's go through the contingencies on this. Let's go through on if we have them or if we don't. Because Spiegs, with a week and a half to go, they have to be thinking about this, right? Like if you're in a place where the guy's not with the team and the playoffs start in less than 2 weeks, yeah, you've got to start going, all right, well then what are we going to do? Who would take his place on the roster? How do we configure this? What are the type of conversations that Craig needs to have with the guys that are available? Like, they've got to be thinking about it.
Can you imagine the look that this would be publicly in Chicago and in the industry if his season ends with an injured list stint and him going away and not coming back?
He can't come back here. He might get his money, but he can't come back here.
No way he's getting it back here. If that is the case,
I wonder
if that's what happens. I wonder, some teams might be out. Some teams might be out if they see that and they're like, I can't give money to a guy who's made some of these decisions. Whether they think this specifically is that ultimate business decision, or maybe there was some concern about that in the past, that would be a horrendous. Horrendous look. I think it's in his best interest to fight and find a way to come back and play.
I agree, and I think that he's trying to do that. But if I'm Kyle Tucker's agent, or if I'm Kyle Tucker's friend, one of the things that I would say to a Red Sox or a Yankees team that might be interested in me going forward is, I got myself healthy for you. Like, the whole reason that I didn't play in the playoffs is that I wasn't right. And I got myself healthy so that you aren't paying me to rehab. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I walked into this situation at Team X being 100% of myself and not putting you on the bill for my rehab.
And he could say, look, you give me a 7-year deal for the first 6 years, you don't have to worry about that. Not that he would say it overtly, but they would know that, you know, maybe at the end we'll have to worry about that. Hey, give me a 10-year deal, you don't have to worry about it till year 10, yada, yada. You know, he could sell them. Oh, man. God, what's wrong with you?
Me?
Why do you like a crowded worry town so much? Like, what is it? What about a crowded worry town functions better? Why is that good for you? Why can't you just be happy with the people that live there?
Well, here's the thing that you don't know about me. I might be the mayor of Worrytown, but I was born in Reelsville. And in Reelsville, what they do is that they raise you to look at, you know, what's going on in these streets. That's what they teach us in Reelsville.
That may fit like your ethical principles, your logical dreams, your journalistic principles. But Tanny, you feel me? There's got to be something else going on. Do you think the mayor has a piece of like the home building industry? He's got a piece of the mortgage industries in Worrytown. There's a reason that he worked so hard to increase population.
Where was the joke? Obviously, it wasn't anything funny about that.
We're getting very close to the Fansville. You need to get Brian Bosworth up in here as the sheriff. Like, this is very close to Fansville territory.
What do you mean? Like, we're fan fictioning?
No,
the Dr. Pepper ad. Fansville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Well, I didn't know they invented mythical towns. I didn't know that. Didn't know that Dr. Pepper invented things
well,
like that.
Well, now they have a new one. Have you seen it?
No.
The new one is...
I don't think you've seen the original one.
Yeah. Well, the new one is Prose Town. And they run up on Jerry. Old Jerry. Jerry Jones. And they're like, we're in this weird place. What's going on? And then they roll up on Jerry Jones. And like, when's the football game? And he's like, we don't play football until Sunday. And they're like, oh my God, I'm in Prose Town.
This is college football advertising inventory for the most part.
It's pretty much all of the inventory of college football.
football.
Right, because that's what I know. The Dr. Pepper is the massive investor. There's the giant cans of Dr. Pepper with a hole in the side that people got to try to throw footballs into.
Yeah, they get scholarship money for that.
I know.
And it's weird that that is morphed into what it is, where it used to just be someone trying to actually throw it, and now they're doing the shuttle. Like, they're just the shovel. They're just like, oh screw it. I'll just chest pass it into
there. That's a good way to do it.
It's an easier way to do it.
Absolutely. It's a much more accurate way. So people are gaming the Dr. Pepper system. I'm not surprised. Texters believe that simply misery loves company in Worrytown. That might be the case.
No.
And another says, as the mayor, you benefit from a greater tax base. So I'm sure that's the case.
Our tax base is fine over here. Have you seen the Bears?
I know. I'm still squatting.
Have you seen the White Sox revert to being a 100 loss team?
They're still going to be all right.
Are they?
Yep.
Are they? All right.
All right. Don't you worry.
Have you checked in on the Blackhawks lately?
Nope.
I don't expect that you will.
Sam Fell's not reaching out to me. He knows better.
And what about the Bull?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm hoping that Ruben's friend who prayed for them to get a good lottery pick at the bar mitzvah, that he's going to get paid off, that his silent prayer of the Bulls getting a good lottery pick.
No, they just gave $100 million to a guy that has no interest in playing defense.
Oh, a guy who's like the ninth best player on a decent team. That's what they gave.
Yep.
That's who they gave $100 million.
Mark Grody has got a Bears hit. Two words next on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's get it. Mark Grody joins us live from Hallis Hall on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Groats, what do we need to know before we start going through the tape?
Gentlemen, yeah, by player accounts, another great practice for the Bears today relative to the apparently, according to Ben Johnson, mediocre ones that they had been having, at least not at a championship level, as the head coach Johnson had put it specifically. Not practicing today continues to be a concern. No Kyler Gordon. TJ Edwards continues to be out. Same, of course, with Jalen Johnson. Jalen Jones did not practice. Linebacker DeMarco Jackson was out today as well. Karan Amagaji and his elbow injury did not allow him to practice today. Grady Jarrett and DeAndre Swift both limited today. And I will say, right before we get into the tape, gentlemen, I would say on the overall, and you will hear it in some of the bites that I'm going to play, it was an edgy day. It was an edgy day for some of the folks that you are going to hear from today from the Bears. And I think that it was a good edge because the Bears are what I would call a bad 0-2. Yes, there are degrees of losing. And it's been a bad couple of losses for the Bears. The big reason, of course, last week was the 52 points that the Detroit Lions put up on the Chicago Bears. Dennis Allen is the defensive coordinator. And let's get into to it specifically because everybody wants more Montez Sweat. And everybody says Montez Sweat has to win his one-on-one battle. So Dennis Allen was asked, what can Montez Sweat do to better win his one-on-ones? And he's also, Dennis Allen, going to get into some scheme stuff.
Obviously, we're 2 weeks into the season, and so there's going to be plenty of more opportunities to be able to do that. I think, you know, we got to do some things to try to create some more one-on-one situations. You know, when you're in these games that kind of are, you know, either you're chasing points or they're kind of close games, it doesn't get into one of these games where, you know, it's a throw the ball every time. And I think that's where, you know, you're really able to kind of get after the quarterback a little bit. So, look, I think it's just really about trying to create some more opportunities for him. And then just being consistent in terms of his technique and his fundamentals, you know, in his pass rush. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Dennis, the problem-solving mindset that you were just talking about, how does that factor into trying to figure out something with the pass rush to get that going, where it might require you to kind of go outside of some of your core beliefs or how you typically run a defense?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, look, the most important way and the quickest way to affect the offense is to be able to affect the quarterback and being able to do that through rushing coverage. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. Maybe there's some ways that we can, you know, create a little bit more time for the rush to get there. You know, and I think getting teams into obvious passing down situations is a big deal too. You know, when you're facing teams and you know, they're maxing up the protection with 7 and 8 man protections, you know, it's not easy to get to the quarterback in those situations. So I think some of it is playing better on early downs, getting teams into, you know, longer distances, obvious passing down situations, and that allows you to do a little bit more to get after the passer.
All right, what I heard there was not, I know how we can make him better or he's going to be better. I heard we either need to, A, have a lead. That's really good. That's the first half of that answer.
Or the other team can't choose to pass the ball.
Right, right. We need to play better on earlier downs so we have a better situation. And we also need to find ways to create more time that the quarterback has to hold it in the secondary. That didn't sound like he's got a lot of faith in making Montez better, did it? Not to me.
Well, you're right, and I think that what this comes down to, guys, is that they expect Montez Sweat to win his one-on-one battles. Like, I think they're saying no excuses. Here's your one-on-one opportunities. We'll try to make more for you. What Dennis Allen is saying right there, but at some point in time, Montez Sweat, your big money man, has to win those one-on-one battles.
Man. That's understandable. It's a little scary. Like, hey, man, you're supposed to be this guy. Start being this guy. And if he's not, well, then we're all just kind of screwed. Go ahead, Groats. Keep rolling.
Yeah. Another one from Dennis Allen, specifically on all those injuries that I mentioned at the outset of the hit here. Let me know if you guys felt vibes of Lee Elia at the end of this, a near F-bomb coming your way. Tannehill, don't lose your mind. It's okay. No F-bombs were made. But it's kind of interesting when you listen to Dennis Allen right here on all of the defensive injuries.
I think we all embrace the challenge. You know, there's no question about it. When you have significant players that are missing time, it's challenging. And yet, that's why we do what we do, and that's why we're at the highest level of this profession, you know, is to figure out solutions and figure out ways to get the job done, you know, you know, really 90% of the world doesn't care about your problems. The other 10% are glad you got them, you know. So, you know, we just come in every night, we go to work, try to put a good plan together, try to, you know, utilize our guys the best we can, put them in good positions to make plays, and, you know, I think you know, hopefully we'll go out and do that this weekend.
Yeah, I think Paul Konerko and his golf buddies will be quoting that next time they play around.
Let's contact Scott Grabstein.
And print
let him know.
And the only reason that we have that piece of sound, Groats,
that's right,
is because of the grobber. He's the only one who had the actual recording of that. So shout out to the grobber.
Everybody, you weren't down there. I was.
He was there.
Yeah, a lot of people think Gian Greco is, I got the tape, though, not Gian Greco. I don't care what anybody, that goes for you too, Grody. You sometimes like to stir it up.
And print it.
When he turned on you, that's my favorite thing.
when he turns on you.
Yeah,
I think he turned on me a couple of times. There was the 85 Bears. That was the one that Tanny just played. That I was there. You weren't. That was directed at me. And then the other one was the AH. That's when he really sniffed it out, because I was like, what are they going to put an AH on their helmets when they moved to Arlington Heights? And he's like, they're never going to do it. You sometimes like to come in here and cause problems.
KMA.
Oh, man.
Facts.
All right, trying to be a wise guy.
No,
I know what you're doing.
So
I know what you're doing.
We heard from the defensive coordinator. What about the offensive coordinator?
Yes, Declan Doyle. You know, we've all been sort of saying it. Hey, Caleb Williams looked better this week than he did last week. And Declan Doyle said, yeah, I thought he looked better. So Declan Doyle, what specifically did Caleb Williams do better this week?
I think that he did a better job of playing through, you know, with his eyes and some of the concepts, just his general process. That was cleaner, just, you know, getting up the line of scrimmage and going a little bit. You know, we utilized a little bit more tempo in that game just because it fit. But that was something that, you know, our operation was a little bit better and a little bit cleaner from that perspective of the ball. And that's the expectation every time we're out there.
How do you feel like Caleb's footwork has progressed even from week one to week two?
I feel like it's getting better every week, but it's still something that I mean, he'll stand up here and tell you this is something that he's really working on. I think I talked about it last week. Your eyes and your eyes lead your feet. And those are really the two things that, you know, we're working on the process. And then his eyes matching his feet taking him through progressions. I saw it continue to progress, but it's something that still we're going to go out there today, and that's going to be one of our main focuses.
Hey, Speaks, there's something good in there. There's Declan Doyle talking about what we were discussing earlier with Dak. The idea of, like, his eyes were in the right place on stuff.
That is good. That is better. You know what I heard, though, Lawrence? Remember on Monday when we broke down some of Caleb postgame where he said he didn't know what he had been doing wrong and needed to be told or look at the tape? And now, today, and Caleb did say it yesterday, once they looked at the tape, he's like, oh, yeah, my feet are bad. That's right. Okay, my feet are bad. I got it. So he didn't know it after the game. He didn't realize it as it was happening. So, I mean, that's a little worrisome to me. I guess it's just all part of the process, man. Like, there's a resignation to realizing that this is a much bigger project than we hoped it would be.
There's more from Mark Grody that we have to do, including more from Declan Doyle. So let's take a timeout. And then we'll go back to Hallis Hall and talk about the Bears as they get ready to take on the Cowboys. Mark Grody's Bears hit continues after this on The Score.
You listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Sometimes like to come on here and just kind of make waves, whatever. I get what you're doing.
What he's doing is a Bears report, part deux. He's Mark Grody. He's at Hallis Hall. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Groats, please continue.
Yeah, wait till you hear me with DJ Moore later. If Les is listening from above, he's going to think I was stirring things up with DJ. But first, Declan Doyle, back to the Bears offensive coordinator. You know, it came up earlier this week on the Raheemy Harris and Grody show.
Oh, hey.
Our QB guru, see there? Our quarterback guru, Tim Jenkins, was on, who I know, Lawrence, you had on for a couple of years as well, so you know him well. But he was talking about how, after he watched the film, it was his thought that, the Bears were running exact same plays within the same game, maybe scripting similar plays throughout a game, which is rare. Well, it came up to Declan Doyle. A question was asked of him today on scripting more than just the first drive.
Is that ever something that you give thought to, just to be able to give your team momentum that they can build off of on the early plays of the third?
It's absolutely something we give thought to. We do it every week. And so a lot of times we'll come out of the half and, you know, we kind of have those thoughts as far as what we're going to go with. And obviously that can change as the game goes on and you may be being played a little bit differently or whatever. But that's absolutely something that we think about. It's been less, you know, us schematically being at a disadvantage and more so, like, you know, we got to clean up the penalties. We got to clean up the mental errors. We got to clean up the fundamentals and technique. That's the secret sauce. That's what we constantly preach. And that's how you stay on track. That's how, you know, that drive in the second half looks like the drive in the first half.
Look, I think that's absolutely right. I think the 12 penalties in game one and then the 8 damaging penalties plus the interception in game two and then falling way behind kind of renders this small sample size very difficult to gauge what their overall offensive plan is mid-game, Lawrence. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I actually, the more we've heard from Declan Doyle, the more I like hearing from him. Because I feel like I learn something from him every week. And that's good. Like, who knows if he's destined to be a full-fledged play-calling offensive coordinator. But I understand why Ben hired him.
Yeah, and some of the question about scripting in the third quarter and the second half is because of the fact that we've seen 2 weeks in a row where the Bears have had terrific first drives, but the first drive of the third quarter has been bad in both weeks. So that is in part why that came up. The first drive of the third quarter was somewhat sabotaged by that DeAndre Swift penalty. And right now, as I've been saying, like, Caleb Williams might get there, but Caleb Williams is not the quarterback right now that's going to dig you out of a 2nd and 20 or a 2nd and 34, as he was asked to do the other day, the drive on which he ended up giving up an interception. Gentlemen, may I take you into the Bears locker room? Are you ready?
Let's
do it.
Are you
guys prepared?
We love it when you do. It smells weird, but we trust you.
Will it please you?
It does. Yes. What? Wait till we get to DJ Moore. Don't you worry. That's coming here soon. But this is the edgy portion, guys. Grady Jarrett, I got two cuts where you're going to hear, like, Grady Jarrett, like, he's ready, man. And he thinks that things are going in the right direction. And this man is clearly keeping receipts on all of us. The question to him is, why do you think things are going in the right direction?
I'm choosing, you know, positivity. And at the end of the day, you know, we got to continue to choose us and believe in the work that we put in. You know, whatever the validation, pats on the back, it's not going to come from the outside world. And to be honest, it's really making it easier for us when we do have the success that we expect to have to block out the noise when we do get the pats on the back, because you would think playing for this city, playing for this organization, we'll get a little more support on the end, certain things. And, you know, people really pushing for us. And obviously we got a lot of stuff going on. But at the end of the day, it's pulling us closer together and making us focus more on the things we can control. But when the day do come that the ball do turn our way, it's going to actually help us be more focused on the things we can control, because we know how we were received and how we were talked about when things was a struggle. So when people, you know, when you're down, sometimes people want to kick you when you're down. So when you're up, you know, you just be able to focus on the ones that was there when you was going through it when you was down. But at the end of the day, guys, we 0-2. You know, that's no excuse, but it's early in the season, and everything that we want is still ahead of us. And the teams that we lost to are two really good teams, but we get an opportunity to see both of them again, you know. And so that's the exciting part. And we may be down, but we're far from out. And we just getting this thing cooking.
Man, that's good stuff. That's the psychology of a longtime athlete, and I get the way he's doing it. And I can also imagine him as a new guy in town. All right, let's see what this media is like. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Like these first 2 weeks, as everybody realizes this is some ugly stuff and people are destroying the organization on every level and going after everything. I mean, that is probably a little jarring for Grady.
Yeah, I think so. Like Atlanta is not a small market. There's no doubt. But this is Chicago is a different market. And, you know, they were booing. And I don't know if he was referencing that. Probably begged a follow up from one of us that was part of that scrum with Grady Jarrett today. But,
better start off quick on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, Lawrence, you're so right. It's painful. Absolutely. At Soldier Field. There's been. I feel like there was booing in every game last year. The opener this year, there was booing for the Bears. I've seen my fair share of booing, you know, in this era of these quarterbacks, of the Trubisky to the Justin Fields to now this, the Caleb Williams era.
Groats, the Bears got booed as they were still winning the game against the Vikings in week one. The booing started while they were winning still.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
imagine
no
you're
doubt.
Grady and that's your first game there. You're like, oh, boy, really? We're winning. Wow.
Groats, I'm going to ask you to make a choice here. What's the We got time for one more piece of sound. Which one do you want to play?
All right. I will. Yeah, let's do, because Grady just got a little bit angry about the Ben Johnson saying that they haven't practiced very, very hard. But here, let me play DJ Moore, because it's really good, actually, on Roma Dunze. And it sounds like DJ Moore may have something to do with getting Roma Dunze to where he is now and going from good to potentially being a great player. Here's DJ Moore on Roma Dunze.
Everything, because, you know, coming off of last year, he was battling himself. Do we think he was good, or do we want to be great? And now he's taking that step to be great, and he's speaking up a lot more and even breaking down huddles now. So I'm loving that for him.
Who challenged him to be great?
Me and him had a talk about it, and then, you know, the coaches after the game kind of got after him a little bit, so he stepped in.
Which game?
It don't really matter. You just know that he did it.
Last year?
Or preseason game? It don't really matter. He's just doing what he needs to do.
What do you tell him about being great?
Just reflecting on his last game when he had over 120, and, I mean, you just got to keep building on top of that, and I mean, he's still this year two for him, and he's already started off like that. I mean, only could start from there and go up.
You obviously are in heavy support of Roma Dunze, but the competitive side of you want yours now? You want your 100-yard game?
No, I mean, of course everybody wants their 100-yard game, but at the same time, whoever's going off, you just got to feed off their energy. When your number gets called, you just got to do it. His number was called a lot, and he made the plays when he was there.
Is that easier to say as you grow older in the league to be able to? Well, I'm not saying you're old. I'm just saying older, more experienced.
I don't think I was ever. It was like, throw me the ball, give me the ball, anything like that. But it is what it is. Like I said, whoever's hot that day, just keep feeding them. And then when they need a break, we got to step up and make a play for them.
Why are you picking on DJ Moore?
Man. I didn't mean
to. That was really nice. That was a really nice, kind bit of leadership there from DJ. Thanks for playing that. And he was never the guy like, give me the damn ball. We used to praise that part of him. That got ugly here for a little while, but that's lovely that he's helping Rome, improve and grow like that. It's beautiful.
No doubt. And he's not like that. I mean, that's for sure. But I thought it was funny. Really quick, here's 3 seconds of Dan Wiederer with a quick question to DJ Moore about Matt Eberflus.
DJ, is it a little awkward to see him this weekend?
No.
And that's that.
It's beautifully put.
Groats.
Oh, it's always fun with DJ Moore. Guys, it's been a pleasure.
Magical hit as always. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
That is Mark Grody. You can catch him on Raheemy Harris and Grody weekdays 10 until 2 here on The Score. I look over into the booth and I see Dave Wannstedt. I see that he has already recorded a bunch of commercials with Ryan Porth, and I say, hey, it's time. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and damn it, that somewhere is here. Dave Wannstedt is next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.